Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So right believing is more important than right living. Write it down. Right believing is more important than right living. I know that it is against some of the things that some of you have heard. But I told you, I'm teaching you kingdom righteousness, which every believer must understand in order to live the kingdom life. Right believing is important. More important in the sight of God than right living. Do you know why? Because you can have somebody who doesn't believe right. He doesn't believe in Jesus at all, but he can live a good life. He can live a morally good life. You can come across people who have their own righteousness. True, they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't think bad about people. I mean, you see the way that they talk, the language that they use. I mean, these people are very patient. These people are loving. I mean, come across people like that. You get close to them, you ask them, what church do you attend? And then they will tell you that I don't attend church. I don't believe in church. I don't believe in Jesus. And you get shocked. Is it possible for somebody to live right and not believe right? Yes, it is possible. Is it possible for somebody to talk right and not lie? There are some people, by principle, they don't lie. They haven't lied before. They always say the truth. It gets them into trouble, but their life is built on truth. But they are not believers. Do you think that God weighs that right living better than the person who believes that Jesus Christ took my sins on the cross, acknowledges that he is a sinner, and Jesus took my sins on the cross, and I am the righteousness of God by faith in what Jesus did for me? God rates the person who believes right higher than the person who lives right. But you see, we do it the opposite. Believers in Christ Jesus, we put emphasis on living right, and our focus is shifted away from believing right. But I came to tell you, in kingdom righteousness, we believe right. In religious righteousness, you may not believe right, you try to live right. Hallelujah. Go to the book of Galatians. Let me show you some few things from there. Very quickly, Galatians chapter 3 and then verse 10. The Bible says that for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curse is everyone. Can we say everyone? Curse is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. As many as are of the works of the law. They are of the works of the law. In other words, as many people, as many Christians, Paul was talking to Christians in the book of Galatians. As many Christians who are living out the law. In other words, whose focus have moved away from the gift of righteousness, and they are trying to work out their own righteousness. The Bible says they are under the curse. They are Christians. But as many as are of the works of the law. In other words, they are trying to work the law. That is how they call it, the works of the law. They are trying to do the law. As many as are trying to do the law. Question, is it wrong to do the law? Is it wrong to do the law? Is it wrong when the law says, thou shalt not steal? Is it wrong to do the law that I will not steal? Because the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not steal. Is it wrong? It's not wrong. Thou shalt not kill. Is it wrong that I will not kill? No, it is right. But this right is a righteousness that is according to the law. And the Bible says that as many as are of the works of the law, trying to work out the law, they are under the curse. The reason is that if you are working out the law, you must work out everything. But there is nobody, no single human being, who can continue in everything that is written in the law to do it? There is no one. No, not one. No, not one. Including Moses, including Abraham, including Elijah, including all your heroes, Noah, every one of them. No, not one. Including every human being who has lived from Adam. No, not one. Hallelujah. So you put yourself under the curse as a believer if you leave your focus from Jesus and you are focusing on working out something. That is what Paul used to teach them, that it is not how nice you live that matters before God. First of all, what matters before God is how right you believe before how right you live. Hallelujah. So go to Galatians 5 and then verse 4. It says that, for you have become estranged from Christ, or you have become separated from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You are just attempting. You understand? You know you can, but you are attempting to be justified. Justified means to be declared innocent by living a good life. Says that you have become separated from Christ, because then Jesus is of no use to you. If you can do it on your own, Jesus is useless. His coming is useless. His death on the cross is useless. Hallelujah. It says what? You have fallen from grace. You have fallen from grace. You are no more entitled to grace just because you are attempting to live a good life without believing that Jesus Christ has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus already. And it's not your good life that is going to add to it or subtract from it. You are righteous perfectly, because the righteousness of God that you are is perfect righteousness. Hallelujah. Let me go to the next thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. It says what? It says that, I'm teaching you kingdom righteousness, okay? Not religious righteousness. Jesus said we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because he brought a certain brand of righteousness. Says that seek that one, because it's closely linked with the kingdom of God. You can't teach the kingdom of God without being strong in righteousness. You have to be in his righteousness, not your righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and then verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The question I want to answer that agitates people's mind when they hear teachings like what I'm teaching, kingdom righteousness, is that, pastor, you are going to encourage people to just focus on believing right and not living righteous lives practically. The Bible says, look at it. It says that there is a glory of God, the glory of the Lord. We are with open faces. Open face means that you must not let anything cover your face. You must not veil your face. Because if there is a veil on your face, on your eyes, what is going to happen is that what you see, all that you see it through the veil. If the veil has a shade of red, all that you see people's white teeth as red. You see that? So he says that, you know what veils us? The law. Read 2 Corinthians 3. It's the law that veils us. The law of Moses. Trying to live a morally good life is what veils us. Says that, open your face. We are with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. What should you behold? You should behold what? The glory of the Lord. When you behold the glory of the Lord, what is going to happen? According to the scripture, you will be transformed. By who? The Holy Spirit. From glory to glory. Hallelujah. That means that if you want to be a transformed believer, from one glory to another glory, from the glory of the old religious righteousness to the new glory, the glory of Jesus, then you are going to have to behold or look at the glory of Jesus. Can we all say behold? Behold means that look at it. Look at the glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? What is the glory of Jesus? If you read the story of Jesus, you will see that there is one glory you cannot miss among others. The glory that he lived on this earth without sin. That is what is outstanding about him. He lived without sin. That is the glory of Jesus. That is what separates him from every other religious leader, every other person. He did no sin. He knew no sin. Inside of him was no sin. He was made of a special gopher wood. Only once mentioned in the Bible. Wonderful. He was altogether righteous. The Bible calls him Jesus the righteous. That is the glory of Jesus. Do you know what? The Bible says that behold that glory. Look at that glory. When you look at that glory, what is going to happen? You are going to be transformed. So when you behold the righteousness of Jesus, what is going to happen is that God is going to transform your sinful life practically so that you become like Jesus. You get his glory, which he displayed on this earth, where he practically didn't sin. Hallelujah. Let me state the opposite. The opposite will clarify it for you. Because some people think that if you have to live a righteous life, then you must behold your sins. You must behold. Some people say that search your heart. Please. Some people say just search deep inside you. Think about your failures. Because they think that it is when you behold your sins, you behold that you lie, you behold that you worry, you behold that you are whatever sin that you sin, that is where God will take you away from that sin. No. When your mind is set and you behold sins, you conceive the sin and you bring forth to the sin. But when your mind is set on Jesus' glory, which is the righteousness that he practically lived on this earth, then the Holy Spirit will take you and transform you so that your life will become like Jesus' practical sinless life. That is how to overcome sin. That is how to overcome the lies in your life. That is how to overcome all the difficulties, all the struggles you have with sin in your life. It's not by beholding sin. It's not by searching your heart. It is by searching Jesus. Because as you know him, as you behold, as in a glass, as in a mirror, which is the word of God, as you look into the perfect law of liberty that liberates you from sin, you are going to be transformed into practically your life being a righteous life. And you live a righteous life not to justify the fact that you are the righteousness of God. You live a righteous life because it is a matter of course that you live a righteous life. You can't do anything but to live a righteous life. Let me show you something in the book of Titus, chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And then verse number 3. It says that Titus 3, verse 3, we'll read to verse 5. For we ourselves were also once foolish. Does that describe you? Not now. Say once. When you said, oh, God is not there. Once you were foolish. You yourself were once foolish, disobedient. Does that describe you? Once. Deceived. Were we deceived? Serving various lusts and pleasures. Is that how our life was? Living in malice and envy. Is that how our life was? Hateful. Means that you hate people. You just don't like people's guts. They haven't done anything to you. They haven't insulted you. Once we were like that. Hateful. And hating one another. You were hateful. And you were hating one another. Look at verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared. Once we were like that. But God introduced his kindness. His love. When it appeared. Appeared is past tense. Is that what it says in your Bible? It means that some time ago, the love of God and the kindness of God appeared. When did it appear? Kindness is made a human being now. Kindness and the love of God has been personified, has been made a person. His name is called Jesus. Jesus is the kindness of God. Jesus is the love of God that appeared. Look at it. That appeared. Verse 5 now. Not by works of righteousness that you have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. How did he save you? He says that you were saved when the love of God and the kindness of God appeared. When Jesus appeared on the cross, he took our sins. So it's not by our works of righteousness that we have done, but by his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration. Underline regeneration. The washing of regeneration. The Greek word for washing is the word bath. Through bathing. There was a bath of regeneration. Regeneration means what? It means that when you believe in Jesus, who appeared and took away your sins, you become regenerated. In other words, you are given a new gene. To regenerate means to start something afresh. It also means to be given a new makeup. You have a new makeup.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. Do you know what your makeup is? You have a makeup of righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. So you are defaulted. You are programmed for righteousness and not for sin. Amen. That is what you have to believe. That you are programmed for righteousness and not for sin. That is why I say that you live a righteous life as a believer as a matter of course. It's your programming. You have been programmed to live a righteous life. Not to justify your inclusion, because your inclusion was justified on the cross. Amen. Not by works of righteousness that you have done, but by his mercy he saved us. By regenerating you, giving you a new makeup, a new gene. So I came to tell you that you have a gene of success. At first you had a gene of foolishness, but now you have a gene of wisdom, because Jesus has been made unto you wisdom of God. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. He has been made unto you the wisdom of God. At first, you had defeat in your life. You were on the way to defeat. Your end will be defeat. But now your end is not like that. Yes. You may be defeated today, but I'm telling you that you are on your way to success.
Yes.
Do you know why? Because that is your programming. To succeed, you are not programmed to fail anymore. You are not programmed to go down anymore.
Amen.
You are programmed to move from glory to glory.
Amen.
Your tomorrow is going to be better. Don't have struggles about it. Don't struggle. Hey, today is fine. Today I have money. Tomorrow I'll be broke. No, you will not be broke.
Amen.
Because you have been programmed for prosperity.
Amen.
There is no way you can receive the seed called Jesus. The Bible, first of all, talked about him as the seed of the woman. There is no way you can have this seed planted in you and then your fruit is going to be something. Your end is going to be something wrong. No. We have been defaulted to succeed than to fail.
Amen.
To go forward than to go backwards.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because you have been made what? The righteousness of God. Righteousness of God, ladies and gentlemen, means that you are programmed to get it right. There is something we call the spirit of error. There is a spirit of error. There are some people who get it wrong in their lives all the time. When they want to choose who to marry, they make a mistake. They want to choose their subject, they make a mistake. They want to choose a job, they make a mistake. They want to choose their friends, they make a mistake. Every time they look at their lives and it's like a bundle of mistakes. They are tormented by the spirit of error. I came to tell you a good news. That because of Jesus, you have been programmed not with the spirit of error, but to get it right.
Amen.
So what you choose will be right.
Amen.
The husband you choose will be right. The wife you choose will be right. Your subject you choose will be right. If even you make a mistake, I tell you one thing. God is going to use it and work it together for your good. Because it is not possible for you to go to the past and to fail anymore. It is not possible. Momentarily, you can see that a believer is struggling and he appears like failing, but when he falls seven times, he's going to rise up seven times. Because of what? Because of the regeneration. Because of the programming inside. Don't look at yourself. The Bible says that, behold the new. All things have passed away. It means that they are dead. When things pass away, we say, he has passed to glory. They are passed away. They are dead. Behold, look, all things have become new, and all things are of God. All things are not of your own gene. That you said, oh, in my family, pastor, you don't know. All of us, we die with diabetes. All of us, we die with high blood pressure. I came to tell you something, that you have a new gene. And the new gene takes precedence over the lower gene from your mother and from your father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That sickness is not going to kill you.
Yes.
That sickness is not going to disturb your life.
Amen.
Because of what? You have the gene of Christ. He was never sick on this earth. He was never struggling with sickness. The Bible says that that is your direction. Behold that glory. As you behold that glory, the Spirit of God is going to transform your body. That sickness that is disturbing you is going to be transformed into the glory of the Lord by beholding His glory, that He led a sickness-free life.
Yes.
Always think about that. Don't think about your sickness. Because you see, when you focus on your sickness, the likelihood is that the sickness is going to grow more. It's going to increase. Because psychologically, you are so full of it. And you are going to give birth to it in a stronger form. Oh yeah. Everything that you conceive. We don't only conceive in the womb that is in front of us. You understand?
Yes.
There is a womb of your mind. And what is inside is going to come outside.
Yes.
Out of the abundance of your thoughts comes the issues of life. That is why you have to be full of what? Beholding the all things which are of God, and letting the old things pass away. Hallelujah. Finally, let me show you something in the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. As we conclude, Romans chapter 6, and then verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Please underline instruments of righteousness to God. It says that present your members. Do you know what your members is talking about? It's talking about your body parts. Your eyes, your head, your nose, your legs, your hands, your fingers. They are your members. The Bible says that your members are what? Already instruments of righteousness. Because of that, present it as an instrument of righteousness. And that is how I want to end it today. I want you to see yourself as thoroughly the righteousness of God. Let's look at verse number 19. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness. You know what he's talking about? Some time ago, in our past, we presented our members as what? Slaves of uncleanness. A slave means that the person cannot help it but to be unclean, because he's a slave to uncleanness. So he cannot be clean. He is bound to go into the debt again, to mess up his life again. Because of what? Because he's a slave of uncleanness. Says that just as in times past, you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So now, can we all say so now?
So now.
Say it again.
So now.
Now is what? Now that you have become a believer, now that you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Slaves of righteousness. Can you see that expression? He's saying that just as some time ago you were a slave of sin, now you are a slave of righteousness. In other words, you are bound to get it right. You are bound to live a righteous life. Because you are a slave of righteousness. So he says what? Present your members as slaves of righteousness. So even as you go into life every day, as you enter into society every day, because you are the righteousness of God, you are believing God that, God, wherever I go, let things which are wrong, which you, God, you want to correct, let them be corrected just by my presence. Let evil go away. Let people who are trying to conceive of sin, let them abort that conception. Let people who want to cheat, when they see me, let them be free from that spirit of cheating. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is how we become instruments, God's tools of righteousness. If God wants to do righteousness, he wants to correct error in our life, in our society, in Ghana, in Africa, he is going to use people who are his instruments of righteousness. These people are slaves to his righteousness. And the Bible says that you present yourself like that. So when you enter into your workplace, just say the righteousness of God has come. Every error, every corruption, every fraud that is being taught about in this place, it is aborted in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you are the righteousness of God. And you are the instrument of the righteousness. God cannot correct evil in our society when we are aloof and the instruments of righteousness are not performing. That is how come we are the salt of the earth. That is how come we can prevent them from deterioration, just by presenting ourselves, by our presence alone. Present your hand as an instrument of righteousness. Don't let your hand touch that which is evil. The document is not for you. Don't let your hand touch it for your personal use. You understand? The A4 sheet in your office is not for you. Your hand is an instrument of righteousness. Don't let it touch it for your personal use. That vehicle is not for you. Don't let your backside, because it's an instrument of righteousness. What I want to teach you to know is that you are thoroughly righteous. Everywhere righteous. Your hair is righteous. All your members, your eyes are righteous. Let them behold correct things. Hallelujah. Amen. Let it show the righteousness of God, not lust. You understand that? Let it reflect the love of God. No other thing, not wickedness. As sometimes you look at people's eyes, you say that this guy, you can see him. Sometimes you see them in the newspaper, you say, hey, this guy, he looks like a wicked man. Some people, you see them like that. I mean, you don't know them anywhere, but you look into their eyes and you say, hey, this guy, he has a wicked look. Yeah. See that just before he did that bad thing, you looked. Just before he stabbed that girl, if you could look into the eyes, you could see wickedness. You understand that? I want you to move from this place with a strong assurance in you. You are thoroughly righteous. Your fingers are righteous. Your legs are righteous. Let them walk in the right places. Your presence is righteousness of God. You are his tool of righteousness. He left us here so that we will bring kingdom righteousness on earth as it is in heaven. God bless us. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.